We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 19th of January, 2018. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the centre of Sheffield. This programme is going out on FM radio and through our internet live stream. And however you're listening, it's also available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Talking about podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured Adam Rose. He's the operations manager for OFO Bikes, the dockless bike sharing scheme, which has just launched in Sheffield. Well, panic not, because the podcast of that is, of course, up on the Sheffield Live website. Whilst you're there, explore the site, because there's a whole wealth of exciting music and much, much more to discover. But that was then, this is now. Who's on today? Well, I'm really delighted that Lynn Brook will be in the studio with us. He runs the Brook Consultancy, a new type of law firm, and he's going to tell us all about the Social Stock Exchange and the NEX Exchange, a force for good. How so? Well, keep on listening and you'll find out. But before we turn to Lynn, what's been going on in business and in social enterprise? Well, of course, news this week has been dominated by the collapse of Carillion, and the government has now set up a task force to help workers and firms hurt by the collapse. The task force is going to involve businesses, the government, unions, and the banks have been asked to be involved. And it's estimated that up to 30,000 small businesses have been or will be affected or owed money by Carillion. Now, are you one of them? Don't forget, you can get in touch with this programme and tell us your story. Now, the task force had its first meeting yesterday to review the impact of Carillion's liquidation on Monday morning, and it's aimed at supporting and monitoring the impact on small businesses and on workers. High Street Banks yesterday said they made more than £200 million available to help businesses put at risk by Carillion's failure, with a £50 million emergency fund announced yesterday by Lloyds Banking Group, £75 million by Royal Bank of Scotland yesterday, £100 million discussed by HSBC. Now, it's not entirely clear how these funds will work. It might be that they simply waive bank fees that they charge their customers, and that small businesses owed money are still going to have significant holes in their accounts. Potentially a huge knock-on effect throughout the economy from the collapse of Carillion, and of course we'll be continuing to discuss this in subsequent weeks. But if you've been affected by Carillion's liquidation, then please do get in touch, and you can email, text, or get in touch in other ways, and I'll give you the details in a moment or two. What else has been going on? Britain has appointed a Minister for Loneliness to take forward the work of murdered lawmaker Joe Cox and to tackle the isolation felt by more than 1 in 10 people in the UK. The Sports Minister, Tracy Crouch, is taking on the new role in addition to her existing job, and she's developing a strategy to address this. Research says that loneliness is linked with dementia, early mortality and high blood pressure as well. And Theresa May, Prime Minister, put out a statement saying that we should do everything we can to see that in Joe Cox's memory we bring an end to the acceptance of loneliness for good. Now, regular listeners might recall that we have from time to time interviewed S&4Cs on this programme, a Sheffield social enterprise that has been dealing with and tackling loneliness in the Sheffield community for many, many years. In fact, celebrated an anniversary last year. It will, of course, continue its work, I'm sure. But the Joe Cox Commission on Loneliness had been set up by Cox shortly before her death. She was murdered by a right-wing extremist in 2016, and the Joe Cox Commission had called for a minister to be appointed to lead action on the issue in a statement yesterday. Well, in a tweet, her husband, Brendan Cox, commented that she would be over the moon that a minister has now been appointed. Yesterday, the Thomson Reuters Foundation reported on a solar-powered water pump for irrigation, And a quarter acre piece of borrowed land in Western Kenya has enabled widow Hakima Mohammed to become a tree tycoon. She has sold at least 1.5 million seedling trees, mainly to small-scale farmers in Western Kenya. They're planting them as a way to boost their incomes from wood and from fruit sales, particularly in the face of recurring droughts that have shriveled their crops. Now, in that process, the 57-year-old has found a way to support herself and her family, and Kenya is being supported in its own efforts to see at least 10% of the land covered in trees by 2030, in order to try to rein in drought and to meet climate change goals. More details about that on the Thomson Reuters Foundation website if you want to find out more. And I had a great news story pop into my inbox yesterday, sent to me by Benchmark Recruit, about the Cathedral Archer Project. Cathedral Arch Project in Sheffield requested a donation of a bike to help support an individual who relied on this as his only means of transport. And without it, he was put in a difficult position. Benchmark, the recruitment business in the city, utilised its networks to put the request out to the Sheffield business community. And this has resulted in a bike being donated by Sheffield business Dwiss and serviced by cycling shop J.E. James. And Tracy Viner of the Arch Project said that they had someone who has accommodation on the outskirts of the city, but did not have any income to pay for transport or food. And having a bike meant that he could come to the centre, have hot meals, see the project staff that had been supporting him to make changes. He has mental health issues, and the loss of his previous bike meant that he had even been considering suicide. And when he heard about the donation of a bike from the Sheffield business community, meant that he could recover and things were happening. It lifted him immediately. The bike, in Trace's words, is quite literally a lifesaver. And John Walker of Dwiss donated the bike and said that to know it now has a role enabling someone to live their life is really, really gratifying. So a nice news story there. So what's been going on for you, for your business, for your social enterprise? Have you been doing something really, really interesting, or are you affected by the Carillion liquidation? Don't forget, you can get in touch with the programme. You can email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. You can send a text to 07904 272 200. You can find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. You can find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. And whether you're starting, whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Put yourself forward, suggest something that we should cover on the programme, send us a statement about something that's going on, or give us a topic that you'd like us to discuss. Do get in touch. So it's time now, I think, to turn to our guest today, and I'm really, really delighted to welcome to the studio Lynn Brook of the Brook Consultancy. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning to you, Jamie.
Thank you so much for coming in today. So the Brook Consultancy, described on your website as a new type of law firm, and perhaps you can tell me a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and the type of people you work with.
We're a new type of law firm because we work on a remote basis and collaborate with others in the financial services sector to be able to produce a solution for entrepreneurs. So we've been going for 7 years. We work on remote so that we can keep our costs down. And I specialise in small to medium enterprises, sometimes known as social enterprises. We can have a conversation about that later. And charities. I help people prepare their business plans so that they are fit for investment and can go and raise some money, because we all need money to get our enterprise going. This morning, really, I'm talking about the collaboration with the Social Stock Exchange and an exchange called NEX.
Super, super.
Both of whom have expressed strong interest in developing regionally. And when I mentioned that I was coming to Sheffield, they were immediately asked me to talk to various people. I'm in Sheffield because my good friend Sabina Raba, who's just moved up here to be nearer to her family and is a PR and a creative strategist, invited me. And so happy coincidences have led me to being on your show.
Serendipitous, happy coincidences indeed. Well, thank you for coming in. Mm-hmm. And the spirit of collaboration is something that is close to my heart and that of many listeners, I'm sure. And so you talked about the need for investment into SMEs, into businesses and into social enterprises. Mm. And as you mentioned, you're going to talk about the Social Stock Exchange and NEX. So what are these? I said at the top of the program, a force for good in investment. How does NEX Exchange work and Social Stock Exchange? Tell me more.
The NEX is an independent, recognised investment exchange regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. And they provide the same service as if they were the London Stock Exchange, but it's for lower value companies. And they'll look at startups, which is quite difficult, and companies that are midway through their growth and need that extra sum of money to grow, take them to the next stage. The Social Stock Exchange is, in a sense, similar, but they don't have the function of a stock exchange. But they are, to become a member of the Social Stock Exchange, you have to put in a social impact report.
Right, yeah.
And the social impact, the first step is to go to the admission panel, which is an independent panel. It's quite a simple form. And then if they're prepared to accept you, you have to put in a social impact report that explains your business, why it has a social benefit, and how that social benefit is going to be measured.
Yes.
And then you're admitted to become a member. And I have two clients who I've introduced onto the Social Stock Exchange, and it's been of benefit to them.
Right, now that's really interesting, and I want to ask you about those clients and the specific benefits to them in a moment or two, so we'll come on to that. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned an impact report. You have to submit an impact report. Mm. And impact reporting in social enterprise has been a topic that grabs loads of hours of debate at social enterprise conferences, with people arguing about the best way to measure impact and so on. And I was I noticed a couple of years ago, global accountancy firm PwC launched their own social impact measurement tool, and then there have been things such as social return on investment, SROI, used to measure impact. When people submit an impact report, does it have to follow a specific template, or how is it transparent and accountable? How is it that if I submit an impact report, someone can say, like they would if they were looking at a balance sheet or a profit and loss statement, and it's sort of globally accepted how we measure accounts and look at balance sheets and P&Ls. But how is it that an impact report is transparent and seen to do what it says it does?
I wish I had the answer.
I think we all do.
use the same principle as with a business plan.
Yeah.
In other words, don't follow a template.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will mislead you, skew your objectives. So in the case of a person preparing a social impact report, let's take a specific example, if I may.
Yes, please do.
So there's a company called the London Rebuilding Society, run by a Naomi Kingsley, who's a guru in the sector.
Now, it's really funny because talking before the show, we discovered that she's a mutual connection, of course. I've met Naomi a few years ago and have admired the work that her organisation has done. So, please continue.
So she developed, and I helped her some time ago, 8-9 years ago, to develop a thing called an equitable mortgage, so that a person who has owned a property, financially excluded or under some sort of disability, and living in a rundown property and no access to money to improve it, LRS says, okay, your value nowadays is 100,000. When it's finished, it's going to be worth £200,000, and we'll take a percentage equity in the increase. No repayments or interest, but obviously interest is accrued at a modest rate. And then when the property is sold, or the person goes into residential care dies, that's when the LRS realizes the money on that sale. Okay. So that she needed, or I think LRS needed to enhance its profile. And that's when we talked about, or I introduced her to the concept of the social stock exchange. And that has given her, and I will come back to the social impact report in a moment, that's given her the opportunity to meet large institutions who say this is an amazing thing. It means that people have pride of place in the house that they live, and they can live longer, and obviously it saves them from going into residential care. And so the question was how to translate that into a social impact report.
Yes.
So I'm going back to what I said. There is no template.
No, indeed.
So describe your business. Describe the social benefit. What are your key performance indicators? I mean, how do you measure your social benefit? And then do the maths, which is simply we converted X number of properties and X number of people now live in their own homes, and are those equitable mortgages come in at such and such a rate for income for the London Rebuilding Society. And the saving to the state in this case is calculable.
Right, yeah.
To say this is the saving.
So you have,
and this is the benefit.
You have a number of impacts there in terms of a saving to the state. You have a direct impact on individuals and the quality of life. You have plenty of other things that you can quantify and measure, but as you say, it's specific to the social enterprise. It's bespoke to the particular organisation and the stakeholders that it works with as well, and its own mission and objectives and purpose.
Yeah.
Great stuff. So London Rebuilding Society was one of two clients that you've introduced to the Social Stock Exchange, and you've talked about how, thanks to Social Stock Exchange, they've been able to be introduced to larger institutions with whom they could work. So can you tell me a little bit more then about the other client you've introduced and how it's benefited them?
It's an organisation called Home From Home Care, run by a family, Paul de Savary and his son Hugo, whose daughter has learning disabilities. And Paul's background is a businessman.
Right.
And he brought to bear on that organisation, Home From Home Care, a business analysis and commissioned and has developed unique software which measures what's going on in real time.
Yes.
And he's a man of compassion, so I don't want to make him sound too aggressive, but his defining solution about residential care for people with learning disabilities, and I suppose it goes right across the whole care sector, is it's an HR business. It's human resource. It's recruiting the staff, making sure that they're the right staff, making sure that they know exactly what to do and how to do it, and that they're accountable, and they record their actions on the computer. So instead of what happens in the care sector is that huge files, and the care staff have to sit there filling in. And if you want to make use of the information, you then have to prepare a chart.
Right, yeah.
It's this is all done by computer and it's all in real time. So it enables the care staff to focus more on the person.
Yes, indeed.
So this is a combination of business analysis of what it means to run a care home.
Yeah.
So it could be old people or people with learning disabilities or whatever. And how to make the staff accountable and more involved in their job. So they've got a great retention base and they've got a great piece of software which is capable of being spread across other sectors.
Yes, okay.
So I'm a big fan of Paul and what he's done at Home From Home Care.
Yes.
And what he hopes to achieve in the future by using his software and his vision in other areas.
So a powerful impact from his software, from his vision, very effective in terms of freeing up time. And you've introduced then that business to the Social Stock Exchange, and how has that worked for them? What's been the benefits to Paul and to Home From Home?
Again, it's meeting institutions and yes. other people and the ability to refine your ideas and your business purpose and how to get there.
Yes.
So it's enabled him, because Home From Home Care runs smoothly, it's enabled him to focus on, okay, how do we now develop the software?
I see.
So it's got a wider application and use.
Right.
And knowing Paul, he'll achieve his objective.
Okay, super. And so you've given a couple of really specific examples there about the Social Stock Exchange. You've described Social Stock Exchange earlier on in the programme. You've also described NEX and the difference between them in terms of NEX being a regulated UK stock exchange. Now, tell me... You've answered this already, but let's just refresh our memories. Who is NEX Exchange? What kind of organisations, businesses is NEX aimed at?
Any type of business. As long as it's ethical.
Yeah.
And it's going to make a profit for the investors. So the essence of an exchange, or the greater emphasis by NEX, is introducing investors who want to invest in ethical businesses that show a return, but those businesses do not have to produce a social impact report.
No.
All they have to do is to have an existing business which is generating profit. And to take an example, they may want to improve their marketing, their on social media, and they need to raise £1 million to be able to do that, to raise the profile of their product, to get the product out to market, to increase the returns. So you've got two elements there. You've got the entrepreneur who wants to, has a passion, an idea, and wants to translate that into creating wealth and creating jobs and benefiting the community. I can be specific now about benefiting the community because both SSX and NEX want to come into the regions.
Right, yeah.
And when I mentioned to them that I was coming to Sheffield, they were very enthusiastic that I spread the gospel.
Okay.
To say, entrepreneurs, you're out there, you want to raise money. We can help you. Investors, you want to invest in dynamic growth businesses, we can help you.
Okay.
We're an exchange.
So I want to talk more about how sort of coming to the regions might work and collaboration in a moment or two. But you just sort of made a really interesting point about investors who want to invest in an ethical business. Now, my definition of ethics and your definition of ethics and any listener's definition of ethical might actually be different. Some people might believe that investing in a business that is... I mean, we might all say no to tobacco, for example, and that's about investing in... or not investing in something that actively does harm. But is ethical about But by investing in an ethical business, are we talking about investing into something that actively does good, or are we talking about investing into something that doesn't deliberately do harm? And who decides what's ethical when it comes to Next Exchange, for example?
I'm going to draw a slight distinction here between Next,
yep.
which runs a market,
yep.
where people can buy and sell their shares.
Yes.
And the Social Stock Exchange, because the key mark of the Social Stock Exchange, gosh, I just did a Donald Trump hand gesture there.
It was the best hand gesture ever.
So they actually demand a social impact report. They want to know what is going to be the social benefit.
Yeah.
I think ethical is a sort of shorthand term, and when you get down to it, you have to define what the social benefit is. And in that case, the admission panel on the Social Stock Exchange decides, is this company for social benefit? So I've talked about two of my clients by way of illustration, and the social benefit there is easy to identify.
Yes, indeed, it is, yeah.
So ethical is a difficult word because it means, as you say, it means lots of different things to different people. But I think once you get down to cases and you have to put your social impact into a social impact report, it becomes a thing of itself, and ethics is only useful as a overall description.
Okay.
The demand for ethical investment, so we just use that as a phrase, is from impact investors.
Yes.
So these are individuals who are looking for their investment to have a social impact,
yep.
and a return on investment as well.
Quite.
So if you want to take a phrase which I use sometimes, I'd say rescuing capitalism for good.
Yes.
Because it hasn't always been for good. It's been much more associated with making lots and lots of money and not really caring too much about the impact that it has on the community, as it were.
Quite, and we only really need to look at news this week to look at to see criticisms of how Carillion was operating, and many people will point to that as an example of capitalism out of control in terms of private companies bidding for contracts and everything going wrong throughout their supply chain as well. Now, we'll watch with interest in terms of as that's unpicked. But as you say, a lot of people have criticised capitalism. You're talking about business as a force for good. So this as an enabler for that, NEX as an enabler. And impact investing enabler too. So really interesting on impact investing, because I was looking up some statistics, and last year it was revealed that there'd been something in the region of a 30% annual growth in social investment last year, and that individual impact investors, according to an organisation called GIIN, G-I-I-N, Global Impact Investing Network. Mm. Now, they announced last year that it was 17% more capital being deployed into impact investment last year than the year before. So significant increase. And they say that there are many reasons for that. There are plenty of people impact investing for social good and financial return. And they believe in the impact that they are helping to create. And there are other people coming into investing into what's seen as ethical territories simply for the financial return, because this sector is delivering financial return. So other people are putting money into impact investing actually because they think it, not for altruistic reasons, they just see the financial return and performance.
There's a balance.
Yeah.
And capitalism, without being critical in any political sense of the word, has gone too far one way onto money, money, money.
Hmm.
And it's now tilting back to where it should be, which is I want to see my investment as not detrimental to society, but in fact helping to accrue benefit generally. But the keynote of that is, of course, you've got to make the money.
Yes, quite.
And rather than being philanthropists, impact investors have grown up because they want to pick their company and pick their portfolio, and provide that portfolio must provide a return, and it must be, in general terms, ethical, but in specific terms, what social benefit is that company providing, and I will invest in that company because of the social benefit. And then you can choose the social benefit. So there's a small company called, I have to declare an interest here, my daughter's involved in it and helped set it up, called Now Press Play, mm-hmm. where they devise programs which are put on headphones and given to primary school children.
Yes.
So it's related to the curriculum. And they got investment from Clearly So, The Big Issue, but the benefit there, and they wouldn't call themselves a social benefit company, nor would they call themselves a social enterprise, although that's the general tag that you can put on them. They found that children in school, their creative writing is much better after these experiences. Might be Roman Britain. Or it could be, the stars and the universe, and that it actually engages kids who are thought to be difficult to teach.
Right. So they have an identifiable social benefit, absolutely, and they have attracted support, investment from Clearly So, and did you say from Big Issue Invest as well?
Yeah. But they need to go on to the next phase now to raise some more money, because you have to always be generating cash to be able to pay your expenses and to take your business forward.
Yes, I see.
And I think that's what Carillion forgot, didn't they? They thought they were on a gravy train with government contracts, and bankable government contracts.
Appears so.
Then they didn't actually say income and expenditure matching, we need funding on this specific project, and that's the funding for that project. Actually, I'm going dangerous territory here, but I know very little about it. But normal business principles weren't used there. And they were not only not used, it seems to me, by the company, which thought it had bankable cash flow forever. Hmm. It was also government not being a sensible investor.
Well,
not doing their due diligence.
Well, not being doing due diligence indeed, and so much to unpick on Carillion and their 120-day payment terms to their suppliers doesn't appear to be ethical, and the way contracts are funded through PFI schemes has been subject of much criticism this week. And of course, it's something that's close to the heart of many Sheffielders because of a certain PFI deal that's been getting a lot of attention in this city, relating to street scene and trees, different company. Yes, your point about Carillion is an interesting one there. And businesses, social enterprises, need to be generating the revenue and need the working capital available for their development plans too. So this is absolutely fascinating. We're talking impact investing, we're talking social enterprise, we're talking NEX and Social Stock Exchange and much, much more with Lynn Brook. And I think it's time, though, for us to take a very quick break for a track of music, a track chosen by Lynn that we'll play for a few minutes. Now, this is Chet Baker, and the track is called Funk in Deep Freeze. Do you want to sort of introduce the track, Lynn? Do you want to say a bit about it, why you've chosen it, or should we just play it?
I seem to be saying too much at the moment, but I wanted to have Jelly Roll Morton, his Red Hot Peppers, playing the Black Bottom Stomp. But Sabina and I had a discussion about that, and so I chose someone more mainstream. But he was a man who had an amazing talent and a very sad life and died too early. So this is Chet Baker.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
That was Funk in Deep Freeze by Chet Baker, chosen by Lynn Brook of the Brook Consultancy. My guest, you're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. And today we've been talking about impact investing, social enterprise, the NEX Exchange, Next Exchange, the Social Stock Exchange, and much more with Lynn Brook. Lynn, welcome back. Great music choice there. Really enjoyed that. Thank you very much indeed. That was really, really enjoyable. And what a lovely chat we've been having about music in the studio. collaboration. We've been talking about social enterprise. We've been talking about impact investing. And you've mentioned earlier in the programme today about how NEX and the Social Stock Exchange are looking to develop into regions. So not just be focused on London and not only have a presence in London. You've come up to Sheffield. How have you been enjoying the city in your visit? What have you found? What have you enjoyed? Did you like Sheffield beer?
We had a great night at, what was it called?
I think you went to the Brew House on Eccles
exactly.
Road, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Terrific.
Yeah.
Really good.
Sounds
and I think
good.
I remember most of it. But there I did meet a young woman who is working for a company in Sheffield that is a tea shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that title doesn't describe it, because when I got talking to her, they source the tea. So they make sure that it's coming from a place where people are producing the tea aren't exploited. The supply chain is clean,
yep.
And the quality is there. So that tea is coming into Sheffield, and then they use various treatments. So they put raspberry flavored tea or ordinary tea. So it's much more making it a tea house ritual.
Mm.
Like the nearest analogy would be the Chinese,
yes.
Tea house,
yeah,
where you can sit down, talk, relax, and drink tea, quality tea, knowing that you're contributing to a business which has the opportunity to use the word to scale up. Because
yeah.
I haven't spoken to the owner, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. It would be a great franchise.
I see. Yep. Okay. Great.
And franchises. Make lots of money. That is a very solid business way of developing your business.
And social franchising has been a model that's become popular within the social enterprise sector and the social economy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a serendipitous meeting, was it? You went out to
went out with Sabine.
Yeah,
met her two sons and one of the sons' girlfriend. That was where she was working. What she was doing.
Yeah.
And what I've found, I'm not being patronising, but there's a great vibrancy in Sheffield.
Yes.
You can see it when you talk to the people. You can see it when you look at the buildings and the development that's going on, that there is something happening. And the truth of the matter is that as a country, we can't be London-centric. We have to work in the regions because there's immeasurable talent, and NEX and SSX are just tools to help that vibrancy come forward and find a business base for creating wealth and creating jobs and returning capitalism to good.
I see. Yep, great. Well, I'm glad that you've noticed the vibrancy of Sheffield and its spirit of creativity as well.
Yes. Definitely. Super. I've met a law firm called the Wasco Brown. Wasco Brown have a foundation, so they are already very far down the track of knowing what's important. They do have impact investor meetings, and they are also providing incubators for growth businesses. So they're an ideal organisation for me to collaborate with. If they'll have me, and they've already introduced a client. We're going to see them after the program on your Olympic Legacy Park.
Right, yes.
To talk about raising funding for that and seeing whether it's a suitable candidate. I think that would be more of a next than SSX.
So that's an interesting example of a potential fit for next.
Yeah. So if people are interested and want to learn more, they should contact either Ian Brown or Jim Lawson at the Wasco Brown Foundation.
And the foundation itself has been on this programme actually a couple of times. So Jim Lawson's been on the show, and Wasco Brown Foundation has also put social enterprises that they've supported forward. As you heard at the start of the show, we prompt listeners to get in touch and to suggest topics and people who should come on, and that they have done. And they've suggested some really interesting social enterprises to be on. So you're suggesting anyone who wants to know more about how their organisation, how their business, how their social enterprise could work with, say, NEX, could work with Social Stock Exchange, to get in touch with the foundation.
Get in touch with Jim or Ian.
Okay, yeah. Super. So we'll give some contact details out at the end of the programme in a few minutes, and we'll mention your website as well, Lynn. Okay. Couple of quick fire questions. We've only got a few minutes left, but definitions. People in the social enterprise and social investment sector sometimes get tied up in knots. What is a social enterprise? Does it have a specific legally defined status? Do you have to be set up in a certain legal structure to call yourself a social enterprise? And what about applying for social investment tax relief? Now, you're a legal eagle, you know the answers to these questions. Tell me more.
Okay. Number one heresy. I used to be able to say there is no such thing as a social enterprise. There are various corporate entities that you can use. You can use an ordinary limited liability company. You can use a community interest company, a limited liability partnership, etc. Social enterprise is now a defined term because government has said only social enterprises can have social investment tax relief. And the social enterprises for that purpose are charities and community interest companies. SITR, social investment tax relief, is where an investor can invest in the social enterprise for it to achieve its objectives. The money has to be lent for 3 years, so it's minimum amount of time is 3 years, and it's got to be unsecured. They can pay a reasonable rate of interest, 5%, 6%, 7%, whatever, as long as they work out that they can afford it within their cash flow, and the investor gets 30% tax relief.
Right.
So if they lend £100, they can... They get a £30 tax off their tax bill, £30 off their tax bill.
But for that, for those purposes, for social investment tax relief, it has to be a certain type of organisation. So a community interest company or a charity or a charitable incorporated organisation?
Well, most people use nowadays a CIO, charitable incorporated organisation. But it doesn't have to be, it can be a charity registered with the Charity Commission.
Yeah, I see. Okay, that's great. That's really helpful and interesting. Good. Now, we are seconds from the end of the programme. I say seconds, and I mean a couple of minutes. So it's probably about time for us to give some contact details. So first of all, we've been talking about the NEX exchange and the Social Stock Exchange. I'll put a link out to those from my Twitter account, Jamie Veitch, so that people can find them directly. But anyone who wants to talk about them and see whether there's a fit, find out more, you've suggested they get in touch with Ian Brown or with Jim Lawson at Wasco Brown Foundation.
And also I'm going to suggest to SSX and NEX that they send an executive down to give a talk at one of the impact investing presentations hosted by Wasco Brown.
Okay, super.
So you'll find they'll be down here within the next couple of months.
Right, great. Well, when they do, hopefully they'll agree to come on this programme. That would be super as well.
That's a good idea. And
meanwhile, Wasco Brown Foundation, very easy to find. Just Google it and look up the details. Get in touch with Jim. Get in touch with Ian Brown as well. Now, Lynn, you have a website yourself. I've got it in front of me, open in front of me. But would you like to give the website address out, or shall I?
I might make a mistake. You do.
No problem at all. Well, your website is thebrookconsultancy.com. That's the, T-H-E, Brook, B-R-O-O-K-E, consultancy.com. Again, I'll tweet the link out to that from my Twitter address at the end of the program so people can find you there. It's been really fascinating to talk collaboration, to talk ethical investment, to talk about impact investing, social enterprise, and much, much more with you today, Lynn. Thank you so much for coming in to be on the program today.
My pleasure. And Jamie, you gave out my website address much better than I could. That was a wise decision on my part. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Lynn. You've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We broadcast every Friday from 9 a.m. through to 10 a.m. So if you want to get in touch with the programme, if you want to comment on what we've been talking about or on business and social enterprise issues and how they're affecting you, put yourself forward to be a guest on the programme or suggest someone you should think we should interview or a topic you'd like us to discuss. Then send me an email, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text to 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. We're always really interested in hearing from you. Thank you so much to my guest today, Lynn Brook. Thank you also to Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer, and thank you very much indeed for listening. Next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme from 10 a.m. all the way through to noon. So tune into that, enjoy that. It will be a great programme as ever. We're going to play out now with a track of music by the Cranberries. And we had the sad news of Dolores Reardon's passing this week. We'll play the Cranberries' Zombie.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.